Blog Talk Radio.
Get down and lay down.
Hallelujah! Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank you for the bottom of my heart. I'd like to thank the Eagles organization. I'd like to thank Mr. Lurie. I'd like to thank Jeff. I would like to thank Ray Rose. Emmett Thomas, I would like to thank the late, great Jim Johnson for using me the way he used me. I'd like to thank all of you fans for allowing me to be me, to act a fool when I wanted to lose my mind when I wanted to go out and give everything that I got. I can retire now because I know I left everything I got on this doggone field.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the war room. You got Dev, Q, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin. Commander.
Give it to you. In the 1 or 2 hour show, to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level, bold with them topics, sort of like some rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats, to 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table, 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
What up, War Room family? It's week one in the month of October, and the Generals of Sports Talk are back at you on a special day and time. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here with two of my partners, Jimmy Williams and B. Austin. What's up, fellas?
Howdy, ho.
What's up,
the real wrestler back, so you know we got to talk about that, and we'll recap some of the other storylines from week four before looking ahead to week five. Please join tonight's conversations by jumping into that JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline 30 minutes from now at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, you know we got to give some shout-outs, so make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon, Chris, and Daniel Sports Trap Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. And check out Mojo on the season ticket on Sundays at 7 p.m. If you can't get to these shows live, you can hear all of these great shows as well as some of my other partner shows at worldroomsports.blogspot.com. Finally, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com. That's N-U-V-I-B-E radio.com at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But it's time to switch gears now, so let's see who's having a birthday this week.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Fellas, special night, special time. What's going on? Feels a little different.
Man, I'm always special.
Yeah.
Special like Ed, like Birthday Man, or special like 50 Tyson, or special like what? What are you talking about?
Special like they mistakenly put me on their short bus and I educated everybody.
Boom. All right, everybody, the birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, included in that very, 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 very popular NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, worldroomsports.com, and click on the DirecTV logo right there on our main page or on our sponsors page and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room sports sign-up rate. So first, we're going to get into these birthdays. First birthday of the night is one Mr. Kurt Vincent Thomas. For some reason, I think we did his birthday on the show before, but Kurt Thomas turns 39 today, fellas.
Yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Kurt Thomas?
I think it was a solid NBA player. He had a long career, now that I think about it. Played a little bit of the 4 to 5. He wasn't like, you know, a great player, so to speak, but he was definitely a good player who had a, you know, a long career. If I'm not mistaken, he's still in the league. I mean,
I was about to say you talking about him like he retired.
he's still contributing. All what I'm saying is, I mean, he doesn't get as much burn as he once did, but he is still finding a way to contribute, even, you know, as he gets older. So, you know, you got to give him props for being able to stay around that long.
My bad. Austin, what do you think of? You think of Kurt Thomas?
I think of several things. At one point in time, he was, when in college, he was the NCAA's leading scorer at like 26 points a game.
And rebounder, too,
like,
a lot of my
and rebounder.
Point game rebounds in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'm like, yo, how did somebody let Kurt Thomas lead the NCAA in scoring? Like, he's Kurt Thomas. And I take away from his game, but as my esteemed brother mentioned, he's been a little bit more than a serviceable NBA player for almost a generation and really doesn't show much signs of slowing down because the way his game is built. I mean,
he does the dirty work.
Yeah, he does dirty work. He rebounds. He doesn't jump, but he never did. And he can hit a 15-footer like nobody's business.
Man,
so,
his 12 to 15-foot baseline day is wet like water. Kurt Thomas was crazy from the baseline. But, yeah, like Jimmy said, he does the dirty work, and that's been his role throughout his career to continue.
Why are
he
and Juwan 100 years old and still in the league?
Keeps him in the league, man. Certain skills keep you in the league, man. Jump shooting,
yeah.
Defense, just being that gritty enforcer, that kind of stuff keeps you in the NBA.
Well, why is Juwan the only member of the Fab Five with a ring?
I know. It's crazy.
Why won't he retire?
Yeah, he should have just walked off into the sunset. I mean, I don't know how much of a sunset it was because he really had nothing to do with the ring, but he got it, so whatever. We're going to move on to the next birthday. I know for sure that we did this one before. This is one Mr. A.C. Green. He turns 48 today. B. Austin.
It's my birthday. Yay!
What do you think about when you think of A.C. Green?
I think of No Yams, I think of church, I think of choir directors, I think of Joel Osteen.
Jerry Curl.
Jerry Curl, definitely think of Jerry Curl. I think of virginity, I think of the Virgin Mary, I think of y'all can stop me.
Jimmy's a lifetime Lakers fan. What do you think of when you think of A.C. Green?
I think of Soul Glow. I think of rebounding. Another player that did the dirty work, so to speak. But you can't help but to think of the fact that he played along like Worthy and Magic, who were notorious party guys, and he was like, you know, had a vow to get no yamage. So. You know what I mean?
I don't want our listeners to get the wrong idea. Like, we all love basketball, like really passionately love basketball. But I couldn't be in the NBA and not be a yam farmer.
Yo, you got to get a brother props, though. In that environment, in that culture, you know what I'm saying? He was able to have the willpower. I mean, if it's all true, he was able to have the willpower to hold out and not be a part of that. You know, not my style, but you got to give them props. You know, certain people
do what's in their lane,
and you give them props for what's in their lane. So
throw in the fact that he played for the Lakers. Like, he's playing in Hollywood.
What was the name of the club? That was at the arena? At the Forum Club.
The Forum Club.
Yeah, come on, AC.
Yeah, when you think about that, I mean, it takes a tremendous willpower.
I don't think he and Magic and he and Kareem and he and Worthy were really cool, though.
They couldn't have been, because I'm pretty sure he didn't really like their lifestyle. I'm pretty sure. And even if he didn't dislike them, you know, he's not going to hang with them on an everyday basis because their lifestyle is just not commensurate with what he was trying to do. So happy birthday to A.C. Green. He's married now, so he probably get more yams than all of us. But our next birthday is one Mr. Marcus Globetrotter Haynes. He turns 86 today.
My birthday, yay!
Had a good run. Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Marcus Haynes?
Mr. Marcus, not that Mr. Marcus, but Mr. Marcus from the Globetrotters, turns 86. I mean, you definitely just have to think about the Globetrotters. He's a legend in basketball.
Right.
And when I think about him, it just reminds me of course, the Harlem Globetrotters, like I said. But people forget how important they were in the history of this game that we love. Because now, like, the Globetrotters are looked at as a joke, so to speak, and it wasn't once that way.
Yeah,
they're very important in the history of basketball, and this guy's a pioneer, so, you know, shout out to him on his birthday.
Yo, he was known, like, back then to have the greatest dribble in the world. So, of course, now he kind of reminds me of Adrian Peterson because, you know, even though Peterson plays for the Vikings, he spent a lot of his NFL career trying to show people his handle. Hopefully he's getting his fumble problem intact. But, you know, like Jimmy said, like back then, you know, if you know your history and you do the knowledge on that, Globetrotters were very, very important to African Americans in basketball. So when he was doing it, you know, he was one of the top people in the world doing it because that's how much respect the Globetrotters got, especially from the black community. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Marcus Haynes?
Man, yo, when you're in a freestyle session with y'all, going last.
All right, man. Say that every week.
God, hey, it happens every week. I respect him and to the highest because there was a time when the Globetrotters were the greatest team, arguably the greatest team in the world. When basketball was segregated, they used to, on a regular basis, set up games with white championship squads, whether it was professional or collegiate, and they used to beat the hair off of their bodies on the basketball court, and he was a part of that, part of that era.
Yo,
my man
used to straight
hair.
Drop to his knees and cross you over.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I think the Harlem... The Harlem Rens would have gave him that work, though, but that's either here nor there.
Yeah, the Rens was stupid with it back then. Our last birthday, hometown boy, one Mr. Aaron Fitzgerald McKee. Aaron McKee.
Yay!
Congratulations. Detroit Pistons, Philly Sixers, you know, a few other squads. He turns 40 today. Austin,
wow.
You can go first. What do you think of when you think of Aaron McKee?
Overachiever. Overachiever. I'm a little biased, so I would even say he was a little underrated. I probably think Blue was better than he was because he was from the crib, and I've hooped with him before, and he's just a good dude, hard nosed, can do everything on a basketball court, fans. Athleticism. Like, it's funny, he has no athleticism, but he does everything well on a basketball court.
Yeah, I'm going to take it all the way back to Temple when Aaron and Eddie was running around with a bunch of bums at the big man position and Rick Brunson. And, you know, they were ripping college basketball up. Man, as a show, basketball is that sport where you have one or two great players, you know, great for the college level. And the team can be successful. You know, they made a couple. I know they made a Final Eight run. But yeah, those are just good times back in Philly, man. When Aaron and Eddie was running around Temple, and then you know he was a part of the success that the Sixers had. He was on that team that went to the finals. So you know,
according to some Chicago Bulls or Michael Jordan stands, Michael Jordan played with a bunch of midgets. So you can have success with one great player. According to some of those fans who say that, you know, Mike had no help, but that's either here nor there. When I think of Aaron McKee, because, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia, as we all did, it's a whole different feeling because he was like one of the last players that when I was a kid that we would actually go to see his high school games. Guys like Bo Kimble, Aaron McKee, and like playing, like, you know, in different tournaments, AAU in Philadelphia. I remember playing against dude, and dude was one of the strongest players I've ever played against. He used to literally take the ball, hold it in front of your face, and you try to punch it out of his hand or something, and you couldn't. And then he'd rise up in a weird form and then give you that J-word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
his J,
he wound up
on his J. It was like 4 seconds long.
But
it was
definitely
wet.
one of the strongest players. I remember like him taking a ball and literally putting it in your face, and you couldn't take it out of his hands. And
remember how we were saying
like
certain skills keep you in the league? He had several of those skills that we named. He was a very good defender. You know what I'm saying? And if he couldn't do anything else, his defense was good enough to give him a 10-plus year career in the NBA. He could shoot, you know, which was one of the other skills that we named. Besides that, he could play point guard for you.
He could play the one, two,
yeah.
and three.
Like Jimmy was saying.
Yeah.
He was so strong. Like, he didn't have a fancy handle, but he was so strong, you really weren't
going
to take the ball.
He reminds me, you know, and like growing up, but like basketball was like a religion, so when he came to, like, my home gym, Mallory, shout out to Mallory, and, like, him and those guys would play, it was like a they were sort of like rock stars without the pay back then, like, in terms of, like, the local basketball scene. Like,
right.
guys like him and him specifically and, like, Bo Kimble. Like, people, you know, I remember Bo Kimble being, like Elvis back then. But anyway,
right.
it's neither here nor there. This reminds me of, you know, basketball in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. You know, the good old days, you know. Let's talk about them shits. But
everybody talk about
that. Happy birth, happy born day to Blue. And Jimmy's gonna tell everybody now what happened this week while y'all were on the grind.
Absolutely. While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. If you don't want to end up on the episode of Broke 30 for 30, definitely go to our website, warroomsports.com, and click on the Bay Financial Services logo and get your money right. Listen. First story I want to talk about is bikini basketball. The Bikini Basketball Association is coming in November, and they, you know, have been getting a lot of attention right now. And my question to you guys is this the end of the WNBA? Would you rather watch scantily clad young women play basketball, or would you rather watch women that look like the men play basketball?
Kind of question.
Go ahead and let you. I'm gonna go ahead and let you take it, because I got a surprising position on this.
I mean, coming from the perspective of a man, I mean, because this has popped up because of the popularity of the Lingerie Football League. And we've all taken a look at that, whether we watch it religiously or not. We've all taken a peek. And the thing about the Lingerie Football League was, once you took that peek, you realized that these women were playing at a higher level than you expected them to be playing at. So I'm wondering, you know, it's the same thing. Like, are these going to be serious basketball players, but, you know, just at the same time objectifying themselves with the way they're dressed playing basketball? I mean, I'm a man, so you know damn well I'm going to take a peek. I'm not even going to sit here and use the sports analyst excuse. It's a sport, so I got to look. I'm a man, so I'm going to look. You know, when November comes around, you know, I'm going to see what it's about. But
yes,
as far as, of course, the skill level is going to be what it is in the WNBA, because for real, the skill level in the WNBA is probably better than the skill level in the NBA, but it's just not a great product to watch. Now, you put that in bikinis,
lesson.
That's a whole different thing. What do you want to say, BLC?
As a man, you covered the as a man point. as a recovering lesbian, I have to. I love women to a fault, so there's no way that I'm not going to tune in. But you made a great point in our last segment, Jimmy, about basketball to us, and I'll just speak for myself. You said it for you. It's like a religion. And so I kind of look at this bringing a level of exploitation of women and mixing it with my religion. I don't know how I really feel about it. I mean, I can deny that I'm going to take the holier-than-thou road and act like I'm so offended by it that I'm not going to watch it. But at the same time, I feel like it's going to take something away from the sport. I don't know why. I didn't feel that way about the LFL. And in watching the LFL, I'd actually say it's a quality product, because while the rest of the viewers in the world is looking at scantily clad women who happen to be playing football, those women take the game seriously. Like, they fall out.
But
and
Austin,
so
they said this is the same thing. They said it promises to be a very competitive league.
Yeah, and everybody that joins the league, all the players, they say they have to have previous basketball experience and they have to be able to actually play. But right. I just still feel, I don't know how I feel about it.
So you want to take
I wonder if Shaq, I wonder if Hoop's going to play, whatever her name is.
You want to see the product first and see.
I want to see the product because basketball is a religion. And then on the other hand, as I stated, like I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body, so I definitely.
Listen, man. To quote the great philosopher, Bradley Anderson, he once said that you have to appreciate women's corporeality. And
yes.
I think that not only men, but women as well, appreciate great bodies when it comes to women. And, I don't know if this was like the end of the WNBA, so to speak, but I'm looking forward to see what kind of ratings and kind of following this league gets because the thing about the LFL is it's still like that violence in the sport that you like to see scantily clad young ladies hit each other. It's like mud wrestling, so to speak. But this is basketball. You got to have
It's probably going to be a little bit more bounce in this sport, literally.
Yeah.
They say they're going to roll out like 6 teams in November. I know for sure 3 of those teams are four of them, the New York Knockouts, the LA Ice,
and the
Orlando
Desire.
Yeah, the Orlando Lady Cats and the Chicago Desire, and then there's a couple more. But the article that I was reading said all of these teams are probably already better than the NBA Charlotte Bobcats.
Damn! I wonder if they're going to get one in Philly eventually because, I moved my season tickets from the Sixers to, the Philadelphia, whatever they want to call them, Night on Broadway's. But,
season tickets probably like $14.
Save me some money. Anyway, let's talk about this Canadian resident. Shout out to Canada, you know what I'm saying? I'll see you this
talk
weekend.
Talk about them
too. A Canadian resident won over $725,000 on a $5 bet on that Seattle controversy and with the Monday Night Football win in Green Bay.
Come on.
And he won $725,000.
Yo, really?
Yo,
all I got to say about dude is...
Made it, it was an interception.
Yo, all I got to say about dude is I wish I was him. If 5 can get you 725K...
Yeah,
come on,
more
man.
Or less.
To my understanding, what he was playing was... he was actually playing like a pick'em. And by that play being called what it was, and it was very dramatic because that was the last game of the weekend. Because it was a Monday night football game. So he was undefeated at the time. That was the game that he needed. And, it turned on the very last play of the game, and it won the dude $725,000.
That is crazy, man.
That's crazy.
That's
so crazy.
In the words of Randy Moss, man, all I could think about when I saw that story.
Straight cash, homie.
No.
Yeah,
he said when the play was under review, I couldn't believe what was happening. When the call was made, I went nuts. I ripped open the envelope to show them. They couldn't believe it. I guess he was sitting there with his homies. But, come on, man. The very last game of the weekend, like, how dramatic was that whole situation? The very last game, the very last play, one of the most controversial plays in NFL history.
Yeah, you can straight make a movie about that. Like, of course you want to make the rest of his life trash and nothing goes right for him.
You got to have the Chris Gardner story.
Yeah, no doubt.
If he's black, he's going to end up on broke.
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute, you know what I mean? But if anybody listening and know that, man, tell them to holler at me, man. My screenplay game is major. But anyway, that's definitely, although I've never written one, that's definitely a crazy story. Austin, what did you think when you saw the story?
I just thought, God bless him, and we are accepting investors. I mean, we don't need him, but we could have a conversation if he wants to put up 10% of his new net worth.
Yeah, I mean, if he's gonna be on broke, then at least.
Yeah, I mean, better than the calligraphy store. But The next story. Dwayne Wade, that is, he drops Blaine Jordan for Li Ning. Li Ning cut the check, and he followed the dough. What you guys think about him saying FOH to Mike?
Yo.
Because it's him, and I'm biased, he wears women's clothes, I'm going to slander the move. But if it was anyone else, I would probably support the fact that he's making an interesting entrepreneurial move and decision, and it just shows how global the economy is getting and that Chinese are recognizing the value, which they've long since done this, but they're recognizing the value of basketball athletes, and they're leveraging that. And to pull him, that may have some implications on the actual game itself.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what Li Ning has been doing over the last several years, they have gotten several athletes to sign with them, but he's the biggest name by far. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they started with like Damon Jones.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade is like a top five player in the league, so he's definitely like the biggest name they've had thus far. And you know, there's no brand loyalty these days because each athlete is in itself is its own brand. So,
not a brand loyalty. I mean, off season you go to Miami, you probably he's gonna be wearing Jordan.
And knowing him, he probably gonna be wearing like no shoes at all, with like toenails. but the bottom line is, you know, it was an interesting move to see them land Dwayne Wade. Like, I don't know what the total financial compensation he got, but you know that he got, you know, broken off real nice.
I got some information on it, I think. I mean, because basically his deal was up with Jordan Brand. And, of course, he had the option of re-upping on the deal, and he didn't do it. Of course, like you said, Jimmy, Wade is now Li Ning's biggest headliner. They also have Jose Calderon. They have Shaquille O'Neal, too. Shaq.
Yeah.
He went from Payless to Li Ning.
Well, see, the thing about Shaq is Shaq has his own brand within Li Ning. Like, Shaq's been making moves, though. Shaq is a... one of those guys who won't end up on 30. Anyway, but our chat room, shout out to Danny Rock. Danny Rock said Wade can't dress any damn way. Him and Jordan both got RuPaul dressing them. So,
yo, they also had they had some strikeouts when they first started because they had Damon Jones and Hashim the Beat, and they had Baron Davis. They said between January and June of this year, their net profits dropped 84.9% to $6.95 million. So,
damn.
I don't know what it is.
They must have gave him the rest of the company, like bring us back. They ain't trouble. But think about it. Think about it this way, man. Like, yo, if you watch the history of Nike, Nike was in trouble till they signed like that one young man who took Nike to the next level.
Yeah, so that's probably what they're trying to do with the Wayne Wade.
I'm going to go geopolitical with it, and y'all do realize that when you have these mega companies in China and they're going after global market share, the government will subsidize them to continue having them make moves. So
basically, you're saying that Li Ning is part of the 47%?
Exactly.
No, but all jokes aside, though, I definitely want to see where this happens, like whether this has any implications, like in terms of the basketball economy, so to speak, moving forward. Because
now it might help
them out. One big guy.
Yeah, it might help their brand with a player like Dwayne Wade. But the part about this that they didn't do particularly correct was, you know, Dwayne Wade is already probably on the second half of his career.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like Nike grabbed Mikey from the door and built with him. Like,
hey,
how
well,
much
hold
time?
On, though.
I mean,
Li Ning,
if Dwayne Wade...
Evan Turner from the door. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, man.
With that
I'm
one.
Just saying. Yeah, with that one, we got another remark in our chat. Shout out to Skyview Kevin and his Raiders. Anyway, it says, these guys should be thinking about their legacy. It says, Dr. J had Converse, Jordan had Nike, Karl Malone had New Balance, etc. Yo, didn't Karl Malone have L.A. gear, though?
He had L.A. gear.
Yeah, L.A. gear.
Yeah, because I always thought saw that weird because they're looking at ladies' athletic gear, but Karl Malone with it. Never mind.
Remember, Dwayne Wade started out with Converse, and then Nike bought Converse, so they moved him over to Brand Jordan.
Yeah. Yo, my man was repping ladies' athletic gear. Shout out to Karl Malone, man. Anyway, OC and Shady squashed. Karl Malone is a quit. Yo, OC and Shady squashed their beef after Sunday night's game. What do you guys think about that?
There was never any beef to begin with. Them dudes just agreed. They probably called each other up a year ago and said, yo, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to bust on you. You going to bust on me. OC went for it and didn't realize that Shady being where he's from and now playing for who he's playing for, he got that slick mouth, that sharp tongue. And so OC bit off more than he could chew.
No, I mean, on the real, because Shady still put it out there, even though he squashed the beef. When he was being interviewed, he made sure he put it out there that OC came to him after the game and said, you're a heck of a player. We're in this business. Let's get over this. And then he also said, let's be done with it, being a bigger man. Also, for myself, you've got to focus on the Giants. They're a good team already. And, you know, he was saying, my goal is not an interdivision battle with OC. It's the Giants, and I'm trying to get to the Super Bowl. That's what Shady said. So he still put it out there.
OC ran out of runway and wasn't able to take off.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, what else can you say to the dude? He kills them every time he plays them. OC had lots of trouble with letting people around the corner on Sunday night. It ain't nothing else to do but squash the beef, man. He killed you. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, unless you want to get like one of them Cowboys fans start pointing to your rings.
I don't like OC. I don't play them kind of games.
But yeah, no doubt. Like, I think this whole thing was much ado about nothing. Man, I don't even want to say anything about it. Hey, little side note, did you guys know that Danny Rock dropped in the chat room? Did you know that Ralph Sampson was started out with Puma? It's crazy when you look back in the day, when you look at the history of, like, you know, sneakers and the NBA and the culture of sneakers, because sneakers have their own culture at this point.
Make basketball shoes anymore?
Yeah, I don't even know they still make basketball shoes, but it's funny
when
you look back.
Or was dudes just wearing them flat joints on the court?
Yo, I don't know. And that's a whole side note. Before I get to that, it's like when you look back and you see that Nike, when it wasn't the big conglomerate it is now, it's kind of weird when you look back in the day and see how Converse was dominating and cats wore like Pumas and Adidas and things of that nature, because we grew up with Nike being like it. You know what I mean?
Nike and Reebok.
Yeah, no doubt. But
Nike, Reebok, and Adidas. And then
what Dev just said, have you guys ever tried to play in like Chucks?
Yes, I have.
Nah, never.
Yo, I tried to play Chucks in a high school game. Yo, I couldn't walk for like 2 weeks. Yo, I don't know how Doc was wearing them Converse back then, taking off, punching on cats, yo.
Now, the funny thing is, I've never in my life owned a pair of Chucks.
What? Yo,
never
how
owned
is that
a pair
possible?
Of Chucks. I don't know.
Yo, but I'm about to cop you a pair myself, man. How can you go through life without Chucks, man? That's like, that's un-American, man. Chucks
See, but that's the thing. I'm pretty sure now that, you know, eventually I'll have a pair of Chucks, but I've never owned a pair of Chucks. And I damn sure, you know, even if I did, wouldn't try to play, and I'm like, y'all crazy.
I tried it just to be funny one day, like trying to, yummy, but yo, that wasn't a good look at all. But yo, I don't know how, yo, Dad has never paid a pair of Chucks.
Gotta
yo.
Have a Dickie suit and Chucks at least at one point in your life.
Yo, but you the first person I ever heard say that they never owned a pair of Chucks, yo.
Never owned a pair of Chucks. And now that we're, you know, adults, they try to charge like $40 and $45 for Chucks.
Yo,
it's a piece of cloth.
Are.
It's a piece of cloth and some canvas, man. Chuck should be like,
yo, you know why that is, though. You know why that is. It's funny because like my brother used to wear Chuck every day. That's his thing. Like every color, whatever go with his outfit. But yo, Nike cops.
Because
and Nike,
about
Nike
say, he probably back then he probably could buy a pair of Chucks every day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. Now things changed, man. Yo, the price of a brick went up, man. Nike owned that thing now, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So anyway, man, that's a whole side note. How we get on to talk about Chucks, but yo, that's some new news. Dev has never owned a pair of Chucks. Yo, that's like, how's that possible? How's that possible? Anyway, man, tell everybody how to get in touch with us real quick.
Yo, check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab. Send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click on the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair and Sports and War blog. Then click on the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Right now, join the JW Realty chat room during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, just sign in using your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. While you're at it, follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, in the chat room every week during the show. So call in and speak with the host, dial on the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. Raise your hand and let one of the professors call on you.
Raise your hand if you're sure.
Yo.
Jump into some...
Scott, you said, Dev, you were just privileged, man. That's why you never had that privilege. He said, you grew up with a silver spoon, Mrs. Hawkins. But anyway.
Ms. Hawkins.
Ms. Hawkins, yeah.
Hey, Kev, maybe I ain't had no checks because I was walking around in my socks, man. You don't know. But Hot Topics are brought to you by Audible. Just schedule too hectic to read as much as you want. Try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very, very same time. All right, man, the MLB playoff picture is 98-99% set. We know what's going on definitely in the National League. Congrats to the Washington Nationals. They finished the season today. No matter what happens, even if the Reds win, they can only tie the Nats record, and the Nats actually beat them in the season series. So the Nationals have locked up the best record in baseball this year. That's kind of crazy to think of considering they had back-to-back 100 lost seasons recently. So they wrapped that up. They're going to have the number one spot in the NL playoffs. Atlanta is the first wild card. St. Louis is the second wild card. And, of course, you have the Reds who won the division and the San Francisco Giants who won their division. Now, the wild card game, which is Friday, I believe, you're going to have Atlanta versus St. Louis. Now, I know we spoke about this when they first brought it up, but Jimmy – what do you think about the new wild card format instead of the last wild card just going to play the number one seed? They have to play each other in a one game elimination. Do you like that?
It's funny because I go back and forth. Initially I was like, you know, I don't like that. That's kind of stupid. But the more I think about it, I like the fact that they're trying, because when it comes to sports and even business, like, you just can't sit around, you know, and not try to make any kind of changes because of these things are. Because that's the problem with baseball to begin with. When you look at the game, it's pretty much the same game now that it was 250 years ago.
1800.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I like the fact that they're trying something. You know, I guess only time will tell how successful it is or how it works. So I go back and
look at it. Yeah, you can look at it from two different sides. On one side, it's exciting because it's like an automatic game 7, and we all get up for game 7. But try to tell that to people who root for the two teams that have to play. Like, who thinks that's fair? You're going to make us play 162 games, and then our playoff lives come down to one game? Like, the whole concept of baseball, the whole schedule for 162 games is a bunch of series. So, like, how do you get to the playoffs and – you know, it's not a series. So that's kind of weird to me. So I think they should at least have made it a 3-game, a 5-game series or something like that, and then, you know, made everything else 7-game series. But, like, I just wouldn't want to be a fan of one of these teams, because when you lose, it's like, damn, we only got one shot at this. This is baseball. We get more shots at that in a regular, you know, when we play them in the regular season. We're going to play them at least 3 times during the week. So it's crazy. I mean, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be exciting, because everybody's going to sit there and it's, you're going to have the anticipation of a game 7. But I just wouldn't want to be a fan of the losing team. Now, over to the American League, we got some races. The playoffs
some
are
races.
Set. The playoffs are set, but we still got some races as far as, you know, it comes down to the last day of who's going to be doing what, because you have the Yankees in Baltimore. Baltimore is 1 game behind the Yankees right now. The Yankees are playing Boston. Baltimore is playing Tampa Bay. I believe if Baltimore wins that game and they end with a tie record, I think they might have – somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. I think it might be a tie for the season series. So they may have to play a 1-game playoff. It's either that or Baltimore outright wins the tiebreaker. I'm not exactly sure on that one. In the West, Oakland and the Texas Rangers are deadlocked, 93-68. So their game tonight is going to decide who wins the division and who gets the wild card. And then you have Detroit, who won their division in the Central, but the big story of the day is Miguel Cabrera, who for all intents and purposes looked like he's going to have the first Triple Crown win since in 45 years. The question is, will he play tonight? Because he's percentage points in front of Mike Trout for the batting title. He's 1 home run up on Josh Hamilton for the home run title. So, you know, if he doesn't play and Josh Hamilton hits 2 home runs, which is not likely, but it could happen because Josh Hamilton does that kind of stuff, then he could lose out on the Triple Crown because of that. Now, on the other side of the coin, playing tonight could hurt him as far, you know, in the batting title. Say he plays, slumps, goes 0-4, and Mike Trout goes, 4-4,
he could
conceivably lose batting title.
My
what do you
thing,
guys think
is,
Jim Leland should do tonight?
My whole thing is play. Yeah, absolutely, because this whole thing is like sitting guys out. And again, it's another one of those situations where, you see both sides of it, because everything is cool until the guy gets hurt. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, this whole culture of pitch counting and, you know, sitting them out for the playoffs, it's like, yo, just play the game. Play every game. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on with the sports in general? Like, I don't know,
because this is one of those things, like, would you equate this to, like, if he sat out just so he, because it's impossible for him to lose the batting title if he sits out the game, if he doesn't have any more at-bats. So would you equate that to, like, David Robinson trying to score 70 to get the scoring title?
I definitely remember that, because he went out of his way. I think he put up, like, 72 points or something like that to win the scoring title. Yeah. I remember that. But it's like.
It's a lot of games, though, man. There's a lot of games in a baseball season. I think if I had a chance to do something that hasn't been done in 45 years and I have to sit out of the last game of the season after we already clinched the playoff spot and there's really no reason for me to play, I think I'd sit out, man. I really do. Even if anybody looks at it as kind of a Bush League move, I think I would have to pull that, because Triple Crown winners don't come around every day, obviously. We've never seen one.
Is that like throwing the ball off your own backboard to get a triple double?
Ricky Davidson?
I'm just asking. Like, you know, would you consider it like that?
I don't know. It's a lot of things that you probably could compare it to. We would have to sit down and make a list, but.
The season ticket just waited. They agree with you.
If not every night, somebody gets a triple-double in the league every week. So, you know, doing that in a regular season game just to get a triple-double.
Yeah, you're talking about
is silly. This has
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
that's what the season ticket just said in our chat. They said nobody's done it in 45 years. You know, it's a team sport, but everybody wants the individual kudos. So,
Shout out to Mojo. Shout out to Mojo from the season ticket. Yeah, that,
Mojo,
exactly.
What up?
Like, I don't know, man. I'd sit out the game, and I'd personally call Josh Hamilton, like, yo, I'll give you a couple stacks to sit out. I'll give you a couple beers to sit out. I shouldn't have said
give
that.
Him a, give him a couple lines of coke. Oh, my fault. I'm sorry. But, my fault. But,
whoa. Ecstasy pills alone.
Like, yo, I got this Molly for you to sit out room. But, yo, the,
got
some of that LeBron James heroin. No, but real talk, though. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, number one, get up in that chat room, like, fast laying down for straight hand.
Yeah,
it's a lot of you know what I mean. So it's crazy, man. But I get your point, because I guess at the end of the day, like 3 years from now, if you do win a triple crown and it goes down in history, nobody's gonna remember all the last games sitting out. Nobody's gonna remember that.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. We always talk about there's too many games in baseball, so you can't tell me by game, you know, in 163 games, I think he played in 152 of them. You can't tell me he didn't earn it, even if he has to sit out the last game of the season again.
No, I'm with you. All right, you want me over. I just hate this whole like, you know, mentality of sitting out games and pitch counts. Pitch counts bother me the most out of anything.
Look at your man Strasburg. He can't even play because they
sweat
his pitch count.
He is pissed off.
Wouldn't you be?
He's trying to leave.
I hope so. Because, you know, living in this area, man. You know, I never had problems with any teams from Washington, but the fans in this area will make you want to root for their failure and their demise.
Don't worry. You know what else I heard? And this is from.
By the way, we got a couple.
I want Bob Norman and Jamarcus Russell.
We got a couple comments on our Facebook page about Dad never owning Chuck, by the way. Maggie, shout out to Maggie. Maggie, one of our bloggers. She said she's a high heel diva. And she owns two pair of Chucks. She said, Dev, what gives? How could you not own Chucks? You know what I'm saying?
Yo, you gotta get some Chucks, man.
Javon, shout out to Javon. He says he's never owned them either. So he's on your side. Barbara.
Yo, I'm looking at all these comments, man.
Yo, Barbara 254, she says, you don't own no Chucks. That's un-American. Definitely un-American.
And I know,
you know
she
what I mean?
Do, because
so,
I've seen pictures of her in Chucks. She rocked the Chucks.
Yeah.
Chucks might
we
be
got a lot
cheaper
of people
in Canada,
in,
man. We're going to be in Canada this weekend. Maybe I'm going to get me some Chucks while we're up there.
No doubt. Yeah, we
I went to Arizona
Canada.
And came back with like 9 pairs of Jordans if anybody want to buy some. yeah, man. So that the baseball race is getting interesting. And, you know, as much as I don't like the whole one-game playoff, you know, for the wild card teams, I will be scrambling in Canada to find a place to sit down and watch that game. So, let's move on to some NBA. Let's talk about Jimmy's team a little bit. Now, we talked about the Lakers, you know, when they first made these moves in the offseason, and we knew back then, like, what the starting five was going to be, what it was going to look like, but it kind of just got real because, you know, now they're releasing pictures of the starting five standing together and stuff like that. Do you guys think that the Lakers have definitively the best starting five in basketball?
Absolutely not.
I just don't know yet. You know what I mean? Like, because this whole thing of chemistry, you can't. I mean,
yeah,
you have to see how they play together. I mean, you're
you
talking about on paper or.
Exactly. I mean, at this point, we can only go by on paper. But even on paper, you can still judge the age thing. You know, they're still kind of older.
Yeah.
So, of course, we haven't seen them. We don't know the chemistry. But y'all can answer the question basically on the paper factor and the age factor. So with that mix,
the paper factor.
Do y'all think that they have the best
paper,
starting five in basketball?
On paper, yes. Because the one thing I see that, you know, talking to a lot of people about sports, because that's what we do, people don't realize, and people must have forgot just how talented Pau Gasol is because, you know, he hasn't played to his potential, you know, in recent history. But when Pau Gasol is like.
You were the guy that made that argument the strongest.
No. What I'm saying is he was playing. Listen, it's one thing to have the talent, but if you don't play up to that level of talent, then what's the difference whether you have the ability
or not?
He's
one of the most skilled big men to cross, you know, into the league in a long time. But, you know, if you're soft a lot of the times, then, you know,
what they call Powell Gasol. But what I'm saying is
sometimes when – Powell, you know, he does his thing. You know, he plays hard, dunk on you, scream at you.
Now, I know your question was, is it the best starting five? But to me, the biggest acquisition has nothing to do with the starting five. Of course, Dwight's
Antoine
biggest,
Jameson.
But the one, Antoine Jameson, to me, is the key. Because Antoine Jameson is very talented, and he's had a great career on the low. Like, he's 2010 on the low. So him coming off the bench, because that was his weakness last year.
I have
bench,
the highest regard and respect for Antoine Jameson, as long as I don't have to watch him play.
Yeah, it's brutal watching him shoot floaters,
watch him play,
tip toe
just,
shots.
Oh my God!
But that is a great acquisition. That is a great acquisition because you know sometimes Ron Artest goes astray and he has to get benched for a little while. Antoine Jameson can step into that lineup now. You're going to give up like 20 more points a game, you know, with him taking over for Ron Artest. But at the same time, you know, he and a couple of more acquisitions did make them a much deeper team. But still focusing on the starting five. Austin, you said absolutely not.
Yeah,
what starting five do you think is better than that one?
Well, first I'm going to start with why I believe they're not, and then I'll go into who may be better. It all centers around age. I mean, I'm a Steve Nash fan, and he's 38. So now at 38, are you going to get the same offensive production from him?
You did at 37. You did at 37. That's why when we talk about the paper factor and the age factor, I'm like, even at their ages, you have to take into account that they still played at very, very high levels last year.
Yeah.
Kobe
averaged
28 a game.
They have played at high levels. But my point being, he's 37, about to be 38, and he's never played defense to begin with. And the weakest part of their defense, minus Kobe, has been – well, I don't even put Kobe in there. The weakest part of their defense has been penetration at the point guard position. Pause that.
So
now,
if
Dwight
changes
a lot,
then
he does.
I'm about to say, if
he
nothing
does.
Changes, then we're supposed to.
But Steve Nash doesn't, and somebody like Westbrook, who's added a pull up to his game, one dribble, I'm right by Steve Nash and pull up. That's the move for him. All right,
he ain't guarding him. Kobe's Westbrook doesn't get guarded by the point guard in L.A. now. Kobe guards Westbrook.
I think Austin, you're
putting Steve Nash
will
be guarding. He'll be guarding the French dude.
I think you put way too much stock in that because the fact that matter is
Akil. I think you and Bayon do that. Like it's not
because
that
at the end of the day, when the difference between now and then is when you get past him, you got the best defensive player in the league anchoring that defense.
All right,
defense
well,
now.
If y'all let me finish on my five because he's only one of the five.
You've been going on him for 10
corny.
Minutes.
The dancing corny.
You going all five?
We
ain't trying to hear that.
The dancing corny boy that plays center for them, you don't know whether his back is going to be right coming off of the – I mean, he did look like his back was already dancing on Ellen DeGeneres, but you don't know. And then Kobe.
Does his back injury – does that take away from whether you can judge the starting five or not, though? He's still the white power.
We're talking about on paper, man. Like
he's
I said, we have to
He's still
the
white power. We're not talking – I mean, you know –
we're talking
Bryant
about on paper, man.
Knees 2 years ago, and you know.
Listen, man. At the end of the day, I don't know another starting five on paper that looks better. I mean, the Heat because they're so top heavy, pose that with LeBron, Wade. Yeah, I mean that's the only one that you probably could say. Outside of that, I just don't see it. Like the Heat, maybe because you know they have the best player
in
the game.
They just won the championship, and I still forgot who the other two guys were.
It don't even matter.
Yeah, Mario, and then. They switched it up.
Remember, Rio. Remember, his name Rio now.
Yeah, Rio and Haslam.
Rio and
Haslam.
Ugly boy.
Playoffs.
And
first it was the layup missing 6'9" dude.
Ugly boy.
Yeah.
Joel Anthony.
Yeah.
But when you know
not
in the playoffs,
to be confused with Ortiz.
Later in the season
when
he was healthy, that was Haslam's spot. So I'm gonna just go Rio and Haslam. Yeah, I mean they're very top heavy, but at the same time, you know this team has three probably surefire Hall of Famers in the starting lineup. Paul Gasol is going to make his case when it comes around, so maybe three and a half. And then you know Ron Artest, he is what he is. Like he's going to play hard defense, and he steps up in big moments. So you know, a lot of people
does.
What Ron Artest was back in the day.
In big moments.
Yeah, so I would say, yeah, you know, the whole Steve Nash and the defense thing, when has he ever played defense, though?
What about that Bobcat starting five?
That's a force to be reckoned with right there.
And here's the thing, though. Skyview, shout out to Skyview Kevin in our chat room, because he brought up the point that I've been making all offseason. Mike Brown is still the head coach. But the thing is, they built a team that, yo, they should win despite Mike Brown. If Mike Brown can't win with this team, yo, he should be banished from the league.
Yeah. At least if he can't get there. Because, I mean, when you get there, you're still going to have to face the heat. And,
yeah.
You know, the youth factor might show up in that. But with Howard down there, with a healthy Dwight Howard down there, they should be able to beat the heat either way.
Yeah, Dwight Howard gives the heat fits anyway. Even when he played with a bunch of nobody, he gave the heat fits.
No, yeah, he should give Joel Anthony 175 per game.
So, you know, when they signed Dwight, everybody in L.A., well, the media is making a big deal. They're trying to get their Kobe Shaq on again, asking people whose team it is and all that kind of nonsense. Did you guys hear Kobe's response to that in the first day of training camp?
Alright,
yeah, we got that somewhere. Here it is. I think we got it. Hold on.
I got a question earlier about whose team this is, and you know, I don't get into the it's my team. Right, but I want to make sure that Dwight, when I retire, this is going to be his. And I want to teach him everything I possibly know so that when I step away, this organization can ride on as if I never left.
Yo, how angry are the haters going to be if this dude gets another chip? Or call it two?
Let's focus on the comments, though. What do you guys think about the comments? Like, is he justified in saying what he said? Like, is that a good comment to make?
His dad Mike would have said. Of course he's justified. He put his whole career, he put his life.
I like the way he said it, because he also said, listen, I'm trying to teach him so, you know, he can take a – he did it the right way.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, as egomaniacal as the comment sounded, like, how could you say he's wrong? Like Austin just said, the dude played his whole 16-year career in L.A. He has five championships there. Because they pick up some talent, you can't start asking who's the leader of the team and all that kind of stuff. Like, all right. Like, if I was in that press conference, I would have looked at everybody like, is that a serious question? Like,
yeah, I mean, come on, man. That is stupid. Kobe does what he wants, and you know what I mean? That's Kobe's team. Listen, man, he's the king of L.A. He does what he wants. I mean, even in Colorado, he did what he wants. My fault. But I'm just saying that. That's
he
a stupid question.
He could be an egomaniac if he wants, as long as it has something to do with the purple and gold. Like, come on.
Yeah, come on. That's a stupid question, man. Let's move on, man.
Is
this
the
talk
white
about
team?
That.
They on some old shit.
Dwight hasn't played a game yet, though.
Dwight ain't played a pre. Yo, he just had his first practice today. He ain't even practiced the day they had Kobe.
He ain't played a game yet. Come on, dude.
Yo, Kobe should have balled up his lips and held up a come on, son, cardboard sign. Come on, son. Got here with that bullshit. All right, so the NBA today announced some anti-flopping rules. Now, we've been talking about this for a while, too. They got a little crackdown going on flopping. I'll read what they came up with real quick, and you guys can talk about if you like it or not. Any player who flops during a regular season game will be subject to a series of penalties, beginning with a warning for first-time violators. After the warning, players will be fined in increments of $5,000 for each additional flop over the course of the season. The fines increase to $30,000 for a fifth offense. And they're also saying that they're going to come up, they're going to announce it later, but they're going to come up with a system for the playoffs as well. Good for basketball, bad for basketball? What do you guys think?
I would have liked to have seen it years ago. I think now it's going to be, I don't know.
You think they make too much money to care?
Yeah.
I mean,
they might end up on that 30 for 30 if they just take it lightly and keep throwing away that money.
Here's the thing, though. When I first was, like, you know, reading on this, what I don't like about it is it's not, like, in-game. So, you know, I can flop and then 3 days later, someone looking at the film to say, hey, he flopped, fine him this amount of money. I think it should be some sort of in-game penalty, like maybe a technical foul or something like that. I think that would definitely have more of a, you know, that would definitely help more than this whole fine thing. What I find interesting about this is these fines are heavier than the fines for technical fouls.
Right.
So I can go suplex
the
referee.
So you're basically saying, since the refs are still not going to call it, it's not going to affect the game. It's not going to affect the team. Therefore, your teammates and your coach is not going to get on you about it. So what difference is it really going to make?
Yeah, and the thing is like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of stupid when you think about it. They could have did something like a technical foul. So that would have been better than what they're currently doing. But how is this going to affect the
but you know what they're doing, Jimmy?
Miami Heat?
Yeah, the thing is, they don't want the referees to have to make that judgment call right then and there, because they probably don't want it to affect the outcome of games. But I think the whole flopping thing is affecting outcomes of games.
I mean, that's how the Heat won the championship.
For it.
Yo, the Heat, and no disrespect, because they are the champs and they earned their title, but yo, the Heat flop on offense, yo.
Yeah.
They flop on offense, defense, and in our chat room, they was like, Paul Pierce's career is over. That may be true, but yo, the person I thought of first was Shane Battier.
Shane, you know, they should take the charge call out of basketball, because the refs don't know how to interpret it anymore. Shane Battier gets on my nerves with the, I'm just going to jump up under you and fall to the ground and get a call. But Paul Pierce is the most dramatic with the flop. He's the most Hollywood with it, because Paul Pierce flops, and it looked like somebody sniped him from the upper level of the arena. Paul Pierce will leave the game for 5 minutes, having his teammates wheel him out in a wheelchair.
That was hilarious. That's hilarious.
And then get up off the bench like, I'm cool.
That's hilarious.
He takes it there. He takes it that far. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I don't
know.
I mean, but Paul Pierce has been the recipient of, you know, the 20
million. Yeah, but Paul Pierce contributes Paul Pierce contributes in many other ways. All Betty does is fall around.
That's true.
He hits threes.
He hitting threes in the playoff run. But throughout the season, he wasn't hitting jack. He was just falling around.
Ain't got to tell me. All
right, here we go. From our chat room.
Betty never existed.
Yeah, from our chat room, here we go from the season tickets. The flop affects the outcome of a game, but they don't issue penalties until after the fact. Then what?
It could be the difference between making the playoffs or not. Five, wow. 3 days later, does what about
wow.
that?
And that's exactly the point.
That is a great point, because if a flop helps you win the game, I'm pretty sure the bigwigs on your team are going to help you out with that fine anyway. You're going to tell me LeBron won't throw Shane a couple dollars to pay a flop if it helped him get another ring? Come on, man.
Yeah, I just think that, yo, but the funny thing is, yo, you basically telling me that I can go cuss out the ref, you know, hit a fan or something. Now, you know, technical fouls don't even, like, you know, get this amount of money taken out of your check.
The only way to affect professional sports is huge dollar fines, like I'm talking $100,000 or more, or losing games. And that amounts to a huge fine, because if you lose a game, you lose a game check. That's what affects, because now you're not able to compete. That's the only thing that really is going to – anything else is, you know, whatever.
Yeah, $5,000. I mean, these dudes spend $5,000 on land, like, on a nightly basis. You know what I mean? Like,
down at Onyx. All right, ESPN 30 for 30. Everybody saw this this documentary last night.
Yeah.
You know, we want to just talk a few minutes on it, because I know we got Mike B coming on. He might actually be on the line already. But we're just going to talk a few minutes before we get to him about what we saw last night, because this is nothing new. You know, Outside the Lines did a story on athletes going broke. The War Room did a show on athletes going broke back in our early days. It probably was our 10th show around that number, where we did a little expose on these athletes going broke. But from the documentary, from what you saw last night, is there anything that stood out, you know, maybe that you didn't know, something that was a little more surprising? Go for it.
I mean, there was nothing that really stood out. I heard most of those stories beforehand. It was very entertaining to see the guy talk about it exactly. But I'm going to be honest with you. I was thinking about this all night after watching the show. And as funny as it is, and also as sad as it is to see these stories, I kind of don't know what the answer is because, you know, I put myself in the shoes of someone at 21. At 21, if given that amount of money, you know, I don't know if I wouldn't have done this, kind of made the same moves. Like,
right.
I would have been a yam farmer. And being a yam farmer,
I wasn't.
My story probably would have been worse. At 20, exactly, but at 21, you give me a couple. First off, my story would have been worse. I probably would have caught the ninja. I probably would have, you know, been like on Travis Henry. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I see why it happened.
But you got to give yourself a little bit more credit. And if you're not going to do it, I will. We were a little smarter than this at 21. You know what I mean?
I'm not
absolving us from any, you know, from every single thing that happened, because there would have been a lot of stupid stuff that we did, but there's no way that I would have been sitting on that show last night talking about, you know what I mean, I got $300 in the bank. Like, no way.
I was going back and forth in my head with this, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, maybe I'd have been a little different because I was a finance major. And I said, but yo, if I was an NBA prospect, I'd have been in sociology like all them guys.
Some of these guys were suckers. So if you want to look at the bling-bling lifestyle and balling, listen, look, I'll be the first to tell you, if I'm single and my net worth is over $5 million, I'm probably walking around everywhere naked with just a Ferrari as my clothing. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's not the part that you have an issue with. If you give someone $5 million a season and they are wise enough, first of all, the foundation, yo, wisdom starts with the advice you're getting. You surround yourself with the right advisors. So you have the right advisors. If I get $5 million and I stack away $4 million of it, now, of course, you get into the competitive thing with the guys that are dumb enough to do other stuff. But I still got $1 million to play with. Oh my God, I'm still going crazy, but I'm gonna be straight.
Yeah, but see, you're looking at this from your standpoint of where you sit now. I'm talking about as a 21-year-old fresh out of school.
No, but I'm gonna go deeper. Jimmy. I still would have had the foundations of a good mom and dad and a good support system. I've still done ignorant and idiotic things.
Hold on. I thought about that, too, and I said, listen, well, I have a family, you know, that probably would have took care of me. But then I think about it, how would that money have changed them? You know what I'm saying? And not saying that, you know, it would have changed my family.
I don't disagree with you in the least bit. I know I would have blown money on dumb stuff, the little bit of money I had. I mean, you saw I was a little flashy with it. But there's no way. No way. I may have been Jamal Mashburn on the show. I might have been sitting up there, sitting in his chair talking, because eventually you got to make something happen. But
especially when you see it dwindling,
you got to make something happen. And you can't go investing in calligraphy.
That's the thing.
What is that?
Yeah, you definitely can't. Some of that stuff sounds stupid, right? But at the end of the day, I sat there and like thought deep about this. Like, I would hope to be the guy on there who is the success story. But if I'm being honest, when I think about it, I think about my mentality at that age. I think about the fact of, you know, being a yam farmer and loving the corporeality of young women. I think about, you know, all those things. It's like at that age with that kind of access, I see why it happens. I would hope that
I agree with that. But from a family standpoint,
when you think about, like, you know, you know, I don't have a lot, but you see how a little bit you get changes people around you. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
Having that amount, you can see how people around you change. I mean, it's a bad situation.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
There's different aspects, Jim, that I could say, okay, I probably would have fell into that, and I probably wouldn't have fallen into that. Back at 21, you know, I guess because we've known each other that, you know, way longer than that. So back then, I know what you guys were thinking, too. Back at 21, I love cars. I probably beat Stu. I probably had at least three cars. Back at 21, you know, I probably had some jewelry. like Herm said, though, I never felt the need to have the Mr. T starter set, you know.
Yeah.
One nice chain, you know, maybe a pinky ring, something like that. You know, some bling, some Allen Iverson earrings. Okay, fine. I probably would have fallen in some of those trappings. I probably would have even fallen in some of the trappings of people trying to get me to invest in businesses only because, you know, we've all always had business minds. At the same time, some things are just, you know,
so you're saying basically
dumber
you would have fallen in every trap, but you wouldn't have had a calligraphy store.
I don't know if I would have, you know, invested in a calligraphy store or a phone card dispenser or something like that. But you know, I probably would have took my chances with a car wash. Now sitting here today at my age, I don't see how they thought car washes were so lucrative. But I probably would have bought a car wash if somebody came to me.
Listen,
I probably would have bought some barbershops. You know, little stupid businesses that really weren't going to net you anything in the long run.
Listen,
I probably would have fallen into those trappings. But some of the stuff, like when you know your money's dwindling, and whether it was Leon Searcy, who just got a settlement. His career's over. He got a settlement for his injury. They gave him $60,000. $6,000 of it went to his baby's mother for child support or whatever, or his ex-wife.
I'm going to keep a fucking
this
show.
This dude had $54,000 in his pocket, and before he got home, before he got to the bank, he saw the new Hummer sitting out on a lot and went and bought one for $50,000. Like, come on, man.
He's a sucker.
And Andre Rison, like, my entourage, I've never been one to get used, so my entourage is not going to go up to 30 people.
Yeah.
And that's what I took out of the whole thing I took out of how happy Andre Rison seemed to tell you the story of him being a jackass.
It's just funny because, like, for me, when I watch it, I try to think, like, okay, so what's the answer? And I really don't have one, other than maybe, like, when these guys get contracts, a part of it is, like, you know, portioned off for when they turn 35 or something. Like, but no one's going to do that. Because if I'm an agent and I say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to set it up so you get some money at 30. I'm going to the next agent that's not going to do that.
Right.
Because at that age.
Screen
I'm
that real quick. I think it might be in there.
Well,
you got it.
One of the points of that whole, the whole thing that I took away, and much like you, Dev, there's certain things that I'm just not going to do as a human being and as a man. You're not going to play me as a sucker. And
I'm not going to make it rain. No way.
I'm not going to get. Millions
you wanted the rain, take your ass to Seattle. I'm not going to make it rain.
Millions and millions of money and not have any of it. Now, would I have had every venereal disease ever? Probably. Would I have bought a house? Would I have bought a house in Virginia? That's
so you'd be a rich, dirty dude.
Hey,
Driving a Ferrari and y'all peel me out the Ferrari naked, that's possible. But you would not have found me with no money at all.
Listen,
that's the
Austin,
point.
At
like,
this
no
point,
money at all or being used by females, those two things wouldn't have happened.
Yo, they wouldn't have had to use me, though. I'm not going to lie. If that was me, I would have made a lot of females happy because they would have just had it. Like, yo, I would have had it.
Like,
I'd have had an apartment in D.C., let alone a house in Virginia. I'd have had an apartment in D.C. at this point. And for those that can't keep up with our code, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's on you. But all I'm saying is, I just know that at that age, with that kind of access, it would have been trouble, yo.
Yo, the Travis Henry problem, even that could have led to the demise of my fortune.
No, that's a problem. After three... You got to buy a condom, man.
I would have done the trade of profit route.
Yo, all I'm saying is this. I wouldn't have worn no, I ain't going to front, dog. I wouldn't have strapped up. If I had that kind of money, I'm leaving them with every young lady that lays down with me, and I'm just, at 21,
this,
I'm saying,
this is
not
why
me now.
You have to love the war room, listeners. We keep it 100 way funky.
Now I know better, but at 21, I probably would have doubled Travis Henry up. I'd have been about 18. I'd have tried to have a little harem.
Not if,
but, you know,
not if they sold condoms at the jewelry store or the car dealership. Look, we'll talk about this another
time. I'm
going to
wear them now.
Because we got Mike B., our handicapper, on the line. Actually, the last point I'll make about that was it was kind of a shame at the end where they showed you the names of every athlete that filed for bankruptcy and it kind of looked like the credits
ugly.
To a movie. Like,
the funniest thing I saw last night was somebody, Khalid Stripling, who's a fan of the War Room, he said that looked like the credits at the end of Roots.
Damn. All right, so look, man.
If I got my money, I would have spent some of it with the gentleman that's about to come on.
Yeah, and made yourself rich just betting on these games.
Just betting on Mike B.
Yeah, so we're going to bring Mike B on the line now. We'll talk again about athletes going broke. Maybe we'll have part two to our series that we started a long time ago.
BMF.
And bring you some new information. But right now, we're going to bring on our handicapper, Mike B, of Your Bookie's Money, so he can give you his NCAA and NFL locks of the week. Mike B, you are in the war room. What's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. First of all, I'd like to apologize for the last couple of weeks. I got a show myself on Thursday, so, you know, I missed coming on the last few weeks.
No problem.
No worries.
No problem.
Glad
no
to
problem.
Have you now, here and now.
Thank
you.
Well, hey, I wanted to touch on what you guys were talking about is that special last night on ESPN. You know, I was a big Boston Celtics fan, and to see what happened to Antoine Walker, you know, it's really disturbing. You know, even Paul Pierce kind of alienated him. You know, Paul Pierce won't talk to him anymore, and, you know, he was trying to get around playing for teams, you know. So that was just my 2 cents worth. I was a big Antoine Walker fan when he played for the Celtics. I think it's pretty sad.
I was, too.
Yeah, $110 plus million. Gone. I can't see how it happened. So what do you got for us this week, Mike?
Well, I don't have anything in NCAA, but I have two NFL games for you guys that I recommend. The first game is actually tomorrow night. Arizona is visiting St. Louis. It's the Thursday night game. You know, Arizona is undefeated. They're 4-0. They had a big comeback win at home against the Dolphins. And, you know, St. Louis, on the other hand, they had a game at home. They beat Seattle, pulled it out. And, guys, this game, I think I like St. Louis. I think they hand Arizona their first loss.
Wow.
I think, I do. I'm not as high on Arizona as everybody else. I think by the end of the year they're going to come back down to earth here. And I think this is going to be their first loss. I'm high on Bradford. I think the quarterback matchup is a mismatch if you put Bradford against Kevin Kolb. So if you throw in all the factors, being at home on a Thursday night, you know, the fact that I like what Fisher's doing, and that, you know, Arizona has a target on them now, you know, being undefeated. I think the Rams pull it out, and, you know, giving me 1 point at home, I'll take that all day.
That's interesting that you say that, because we have a pick'em league here. You know, we don't do it against the spread, but it's just a straight-up pick'em league. And I picked the Rams to beat them either, because I really don't believe in the Cardinals.
So
I think their defense is nasty, but, you know.
Plus, I think Rams have been playing well, and also, like, they're going to be excited. I mean, they're retiring Kurt Warner's number and all that, so, you know, it's going to be and it's like a primetime game for St. Louis. When's the last time you saw that? Probably when Kurt Warner played. So you have St. Louis plus one, right?
Yes, at home,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well, the next game, guys... the next game is the Battle of Pennsylvania. You know, Philadelphia. Yeah, Philadelphia is traveling to Pittsburgh. And would you believe it, the Steelers are a 3.5-point favorite here, even though the Eagles are 3-1 and the Steelers are 1-2. You know, you figure normally in Vegas you give 3 points to the home team. So basically, you know, they're saying that the Steelers are a better team, you know, even though the Eagles are 3-1. You know, the Eagles, guys, they quite frankly – you know, they've won 3 games this year, but they've been by a total of 4 points. You know, squeaking by, you know, the Giants and, you know, Cleveland to open the season. I'm going to go with the Steelers here, guys, -3.5. They're coming off a bye week. Like I said, you know, I like the Eagles to start the season, but I just don't like offensively what they're doing now. You know, the Steelers, they're going to bring it. They're going to blitz Vic, and, you know, until he can't see anymore.
He can't see
You know, I'm going to recommend taking the Steelers. I think, you know, they get over the 3.5 points and cover this game.
Cool. Okay. Steelers -3.5, and we have the Rams +1. So
I see exactly what you're saying, though, Mike, because, you know, even though I'm a diehard Eagles fan, I really look at it as the Eagles probably should be 0-4 at this point.
They got a lot of lucky breaks. You overcome all those turnovers to beat Cleveland. Baltimore, you had the questionable offensive pass interference call that took away their touchdown. The Giants had a chance to win it at the end of the game, and the kicker, you know, came up short from 54 yards. So, you know, I'll take the wins, definitely take the wins, but they do have to play better to prove to first Eagles fans and then, like you said, Vegas, that, you know, they're worth taking a look at. So,
Mike B., in our chat room, someone wants to know, will you go against Bama again? They remember that, taking Arkansas plus 20.
I learned my lesson. I'm not touching Bama again. You know, the strange thing with Bama, guys, is they can name the score. In some of the, like, the last few games when they've been favored by 30 and 40 points, they haven't covered. It doesn't mean anything against Alabama. It's just that they're going to come out, get up 30 to nothing, and then they're going to bring in, the, you know, the second string. So with Alabama, you have to watch out. If it's a low number, you know, I like Alabama. If it gets too high, you know, Saban isn't the coach that runs up the score. He's like, you know, just throw, you know, let the team throw in the towel and just, you know, throw in the second and third stringers.
Right.
Yeah. All right, cool. So we got you on in the record now. So we'll see how we make out this week. You know, thanks again, Mike B.
Well, hey, I appreciate the time, guys, and just where you can find me on Carolina Sports. The website is cswins.net, and we have a lot of handicappers there. My name is Your Bookie's Money. I have daily, weekly, and season-long packages for everybody, and you know, I just encourage everybody to come and check me out.
All right,
Mike B. We'll see you next week, and next week we'll be back on our regular day. So we'll talk to you during the week, and then we'll see you next Thursday.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, thanks.
All right. Take care.
All
right, Mike B.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
All right, Mike B., everybody. Your bookie's money.
Yes, sir.
Damn sure I ain't playing with my own.
Already.
Gambling, gambling seemed to be a problem
before you...
among the athletes.
You guys are huge Eagles fans. I gotta read something that is in our chat room. I want to see what you guys think about this. Kevin's saying that he thinks the Eagles are not getting the credit they deserve. He said they're winning the games that they lost last year, and that can make a difference. As an Eagles fan,
luck goes a long way. Luck goes a long way. I'm not mad at the wins because he's right. Last year they turned the ball over a bunch, and they were losing leads. You know, instead of, you know, coming back and doing these last minute or fourth quarter drives that they've been doing this season. But, you know, a lot of people will say a win is a win. And when you're looking at the win-loss record, that may be true. But I'll look a little deeper into a win or a loss. Because
analyze the game.
Yeah, because it's just certain things that they do or that they're doing right now that just won't hold up. When the pressure really comes and, you know, and the big boys start coming to town, like, it's that stuff just won't hold up, man. So they have to play better because the team is talented enough to not be in these squeakers. So
even some of the teams that we've beaten, I don't think we beat them at the end of the season when they're in full swing. Like, if we play the Giants, when we play the Giants the way – If we play the Giants the way we played them in one in December, that's not a victory.
See, but the funniest thing about it, though, Austin, I think the Giants is the best game they've played so far. They didn't turn the ball over.
They are the defending champs, so you don't expect to just run over them. That may be the case, and I wouldn't disagree with you, but my statement still kind of remains the same because I think that the Giants will improve and won't make some of the mistakes that they made in that game. I think that we have improved, and this is a response directly to the gentleman in the chat room. I think we have improved in certain facets of the game and the team. I think defensively as a unit, we're leaps and bounds above where we were last season, and that starts with the front, you know, the front seven going maybe 8 deep on the D-line, quality talent that can not only rush the passer but play the run. Improvement with your linebackers. Two of those guys have gotten one season older. They're more, you know, they're more responsive. And then you bring in D'Amico Ryans, who, while he's not a top tier, he's head and shoulders above what we had and is definitely kind of a periphery Pro Bowl type of dude. So I think that's a major improvement. But when we get back to the person that touches the ball on every play on the offense in an offensive series other than the center, and that's the quarterback, I'm not satisfied with the quarterback. I'm not,
right,
well,
we
not satisfied.
We're going to get into that, man. You know we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that. So before Jimmy takes us into that, you know, the NFL talk, I just, you know, we want to give some shout-outs because a few of us attended a conference this past week in Wilmington, Delaware called PodCamp. You know, so we were trying to, you know, we were just trying to get some information on how we can bring you guys a better product on the internet, you know, our social media, you know, our podcasting and things like that. So shout out to PodCamp and everyone we met there. We're going to put a lot of those things into practice and see if we can make a better product here. And we'd also like to give a shout out. On that PodCamp, we met the Philly Sports Muse. We've been following each other on Twitter probably for like a year. But, you know, it's kind of cool when you actually could put a face, you know, a voice to the people that you've met on the internet. And, you know, we're going to do some things with her as far as, you know, some synergies that we're going to line up, some networking. So, yeah, we're doing some things to bring you guys a better product. This weekend, actually tomorrow, that's why we had to move our show up, we're all going out to Toronto for a conference called Blogs with Balls. Funny title, but it's going to be a lot of big wigs in the industry there, so we're going to, you know, see what we can learn from them, see what kind of networking we can do. And like I said, the whole point of this, these things are to come back and bring you guys a better product. Jim, you
absolutely.
Want to talk about
it? You know, we picking up little ninja secrets, so I'm letting y'all know right now that it's about to get real Sam, it's about to get real Sam Cassell out there. I mean, it's about to get real old and Polynesian in the industry because we're making moves. But with that being said, also I want to shout out Danny Rock because he's in our chat room, and he says that he doesn't believe the Arizona Cardinals will lose till Week 6, and they may win that game, and that's when they play the Bills. So I like to put that on the record when people give us their predictions because we like to come back to you. Even if you're right, you know, we'll give you your props, but if you're wrong and they lose this week, we're gonna tell you about that too.
I mean, I was kinda going out on a limb, you know, with the Rams pick. And Mike B, he just made me feel a little more comfortable about the pick. But
yeah,
you know,
but the fact of the matter is I picked the Rams
happen,
too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I picked the Rams too just on some John, like I'm like nobody else is gonna pick them, but now I know you picked them.
Now
you put it out there, I'm like, damn, you picked them too. Like when it comes to the pick 'em pool, I be drawn, which is probably why I never win, because I try to pick like the craziest picks that nobody else will pick, you know what I mean? But and Experto was going off on the Giants in our chat room saying they're overrated and their offensive line sucks. We about to get into some football talk anyway, so this one. Anyway,
if you guys want to check out our website, as we always tell you, it's warroomsports.com. If you want to call in and speak to us, you know, right now about any of today's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, you could just press 1 if you want to talk, and we'll try to get to you. And by the way, fellas, Miguel Cabrera is in the lineup this evening. No telling how long he's going to play. Maybe they'll throw him out there for 2 at-bats, you know, let him do his thing and then take him out if he has it.
Yo, believe it or not, everybody, we still getting feedback about Dev never owning a pair of Chucks.
why don't y'all pull together and buy me some?
Now it's on Twitter, though. Hey, but this one is agreeing with you. This is the home of Reese.
Okay. I'm sorry for screaming at you.
AKA's Twitter name is @Ted_DiBiase. He says he's also never owned Chucks. And
it's Reese,
says,
I think that's Big Reese.
Yeah, it is. It's Reese. Okay. He said he's never owned Chucks. He said, but also he doesn't eat pizza. So I told him, you're definitely un-American. Dang. You've never owned a pair of Chucks and you don't eat pizza, man. You're close to being a terrorist.
My
anyway,
brother don't eat
pizza.
Whoa. That's not the worst you've heard, though. My brother don't eat chicken.
Whoa!
So we can shut
down
the Chuck conversation right there. He's retarded.
Come on, cuz. Anyway,
yo,
my son is
one, and he's a chicken fiend already.
Whoa.
Not a chicken head fiend. He's a chicken fiend.
Pizza's overrated.
Pizza's overrated. Come on, pizza's a gift from God, man.
How could you not
Austin.
Like pizza, man?
Slap
I don't
on the plane
it, I just think it's overrated.
Pizza is overrated? Yo, I'm about to put you out there, too. Cause
pizza from Pizza
overrated.
Hut is overrated. About
yeah,
it.
Pizza from Pizza Hut is overrated. You must ain't had no good pizza. Yo, go to Lito's. Lito's to come, man. They ain't cutting no checks, so I'm going to be quiet. Anyway, the NFL.
Got the LeBron James.
Yeah, they got the LeBron James heroin in their pizza. NFL Wrap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone. And if you so happen to own a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you can also hear our show, but you probably should upgrade. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website or go to Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom, one word. And it's the coupon code, put in the word The War Room, that will enter you in a contest to win millions and millions of money. Now, the first thing I want to talk about in reference to this NFL is the real refs coming back. I see my brother's in our chat room, and he is a Packers fan, so I know he probably is not excited about the new refs coming back. But
yeah, the real
else,
refs,
how do you feel like,
the real refs
the
tried
real
to
refs.
Screw him, too.
Yeah, I know. What's good? What's good with the real refs, though? They got standing ovations in some stadiums, and, you know, what you got?
Man, they certainly did.
This is my thing. The whole standing ovation to refs, like, I know it got kind of bad with the replacements, but I thought that whole thing was corny because I was wondering how long it was going to take for them to remember that we didn't like them either. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that was promised with the real refs is that the games were going to be shorter because when they make a bad call, they knew how to implement the yardage and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as, you know, missing calls, blowing calls, it's the same thing, no matter who you put out there, no matter how much experience they have. Because what I found interesting was I was watching, during the 4 o'clock hour, I was watching five games at once. I was watching four on the, you know, the channel I call the Mass, the Organized Confusion channel.
Yeah.
The Game Mix on DirecTV. I was watching four games on that channel. And then I was flipping to the local game, which was the Redskins game. Every
okay.
game, when I switched the sound or if I switched the channel to the Redskins game, there was a point during the day, and I'm not making this up because I've been on this ref mission, but every time I turned to another game, the refs were being booed at the very time that I turned to the game. It was just interesting because we went through that all week. And everybody's giving standing ovations, and they're so happy that the refs are back. But it was, you know, it didn't take long for people to remember that we don't like them either, and they suck as well.
Well, if you rob a bank, you're a bad guy, and if you're a serial killer, you're a bad guy. So the regular refs are analogous with the bank robber, and the replacement refs are more like the serial killer.
Okay. Okay. That's a bit much. I get your point, but that's a bit much. All I can say is when you know you root for your team, and when a call goes against you, even if the call is right, you're still going to boo them. I mean, that's just part of sports. It is what it is. I do say the one thing I do.
Well, I get what you're saying. I think most fans watch the game that way. I don't because I don't want a bad call going the other way. Like if I see pass interference against another team and it's my squad, I'd rather them keep it consistent and not make a bad call, period.
Okay. Well, you watch it totally different than, like, 98% of the people in America.
I'm different than 98% of the sheep in America.
I agree with you.
True, because
I mean,
some people think the only calls that are bad calls are calls against their team.
Yeah.
You like the young man in the commercial. Coach, it went out on me. Come on, man. FOH.
All I'm saying... We'd have threw him under the gym.
Yeah, he definitely got to go.
High school, wins were hard enough to come by as it is. We'd have threw him up under the gym.
Now we got a conspiracy theorist. Kyrie is saying that Goodell is out to screw him because they made him look bad. I mean,
see, but that's another thing, man. Everybody keeps blaming Goodell. Goodell has no power in the whole referee thing. You need to blame the owners, you know, whatever team
you root for?
I blame Jerry Jones. He roots for the Packers,
but for everybody else that was complaining about Goodell, you need to be upset with whoever your team owner is, because they're the ones who, you know, didn't want to make the deal, and they wanted to.
You know what my observation is, and I don't know how true it is, but when you look at the owners, the way they move, yo, I feel like Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft like tell everybody else what to do.
Maybe it's
because they're the more vocal ones or whatever, but it's like, yo, when it comes to any kind of issue that deals with the owners and the negotiations and anything, it's like they talk. They make all moves.
The leadership at that table is commensurate with whose net worth and team value is the highest.
Right. And those are two of the top teams.
Kraft is kind of like the old head politician. So Kraft, Jerry Jones, Dan Snyder, and who's the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Rooney.
Rooney.
They make everything they say is law, and you get down or you get laid down. Now sometimes they go a little overboard. Like Jerry Jones thinks that the world is his, and so does Dan Snyder. So when they tried that little salary cap move, they get their hands smacked too.
You said the world is his. Austin, the boy tried to build a stadium that looked like the Earth. Like that stadium is almost as big as Earth.
Yo, but to me, those two guys stand out because they're out of control. Because when they talk, they talk like their word is law. Like, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Like, they don't even consult with the other owners. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's like they the boss of the bosses.
Jerry Jones probably the one who got the kickoff moved up 5 yards.
Yo,
Dallas
ain't
had a good kick returner. They had a good kick returner in years, so he just said, man, forget it.
Yo, and Bob Kraft is so gully. He's so gully. He cheated, got caught, and had all the evidence burned.
I'm trying to tell people, man, Goodell is a puppet. Everybody blames dude.
Yo,
and he don't mind taking the blame because he's just an average fan making $10 million to be a puppet figurehead.
Last thing I'm going to say is this. Bob Kraft is even more gangster than Jerry Jones because he don't, like, do all the talking that Jerry did. Yo, Bob Kraft is so gully that he had them make a rule in the middle of a game that the tough rule wasn't in the books before that game. The tough rule came out that game, yo. There's no way you could tell me that was already a rule. That was BS, yo. That was a fumble.
Jerry Jones got slaves to wipe his glasses, though.
Yeah, that's
all relative.
He got Django's wiping his glasses. Those two guys right there are the boss of all bosses.
But
so
before y'all move on, man, I just want people to remember, like, you know, we weren't all in love with refs. And I kind of think, you know, the replacement refs weren't good at all. But at the same time, I think, like Austin called them earlier, I think, you know, the country is probably full of sheep. So if it's the popular thing to do to bash the refs, some people who really, you know, didn't see a difference, some casual fans who don't know the difference, you know, they jumped on the bandwagon as well. So my only thing with, you know, what may sound like a defense of the replacement refs was just that, you know, I think the criticism got way overblown and they got out of hand. Like, have we forgotten that every arena in the country serves beer in plastic bottles now because of what happened in Cleveland, because some refs made a bad call and they left the game to a bottle shower?
I mean, that's Cleveland, though. Ain't nothing. Never mind. Be quiet.
It might not have been there, right? It might have just been upset because they were Clevelanders, but
they upset
because
they live in Cleveland.
You know?
Ain't no jobs in Cleveland. Anyway,
ain't no LeBron in Cleveland.
That's why they made sure those beer bottles were empty before they threw them.
Man, I feel sorry for places like Cleveland, though, man, because they've been decimated. But I'm not gonna get in there. I'm not gonna get in my little political rant right now. Let's move on, man. Let's talk about
Cleveland.
Let's talk about the 49ers, like, you know, taking care of the New York Jets in the fashion they did, and also they're losing San Antonio Holmes. Bottom line is this. Here's a question I've been getting all week or everywhere, Google Plus, Twitter. Everybody's asking me, is it Tebow time? So I'm going to ask you, gentlemen, is it Tebow time?
Yo, don't ask me that question. You know it's always Tebow time with this.
Yeah, I was like, it's Tebow time in the preseason. Man, it's a good question. Probably, just being honest, it's probably not, just because,
you know, they're, what are they, 2-2? They're not completely out of it yet. Even though, even if you're going to make a change, you don't really want to make the change because you're out of it. You want to make the change because you think, something different might help the team. I'm maybe give Mark Sanchez one more week, because for as many people who don't want to see Tim Tebow play, I mean, what's your option? You know, your quarterback looking pretty and playing like trash truck juice, or your quarterback looking ugly and
getting a win?
I don't know.
Listen, man, my whole thing is this. It's funny because
I'm not
saying
he's going to win, but you need
something
different.
To the Broad Street line yesterday. Shout out to the homies at the Broad Street line. But they were talking about how in the beginning of the season, everybody knew that the Jets were going to be a horrible team.
I thought
he was going to
say in the beginning of time, everybody knew.
No, I agree with them. But the fact of the matter is the Jets have found a way to make themselves relevant when their team is just horrible, and it's not just that quarterback. They're horrible all over.
I didn't think the Jets were going to be horrible. You know what I mean? Even though in the preseason they couldn't, you know, score the equivalent of not being able to get a bucket. They couldn't get a bucket in the preseason, but I didn't think they were going to be horrible. You know, I think I picked them to finish second in that division. I don't know if that equated to a wild card, but I had them, you know, being second in that division because I still just don't believe in the Buffalo Bills. But I don't know if the hope comes in the form of Mark Sanchez finally improving, or if the hope comes in putting, you know, Jesus' cousin into the game and letting him play. So, you know. If it doesn't look like it's gonna get any better, let God's nephew ride.
I'm gonna address my brother Devin right now and explain something. We are highly intelligent and articulate sports media professionals. When it comes to Tebow, all that out the door, brother. Just believe in faith. Faith.
He said Tim Tebow was blessed and highly favored. And God, by the way,
man.
Tebow,
I'm reminded of the movie 300. A coward dies many deaths. That's Mark Sanchez. He's the little dude with the hunchback. Tebow was trying to kill Artaxerxes.
Yo, soundboat, because Facebook and Twitter still blowing up about the conversation about Dev not having Chuck. So this is hilarious. You got a lot of support. You got a lot of support out there now. We got Dwayne, shout out to Dwayne Carey weighing in and Brent weighing in. They said they never had him either, so you're not alone, man. All right, so
cool.
I just want you to know that. That started the beginning of the show, but Katz is definitely still weighing in. That's like a.
And that might have been a part of it, too, because you remember at one point, like in our high school career, Chucks came back out and was like a fad. You know, I always tried to be a little different than everybody else. But
yeah, it's funny because I'm about to like start a hashtag called Get Dev Some Chucks.
I changed my mind about the buying some in Canada. If y'all want me to get some Chucks, y'all gonna have to pay for them. So.
I just start the hashtag.
Start, collect some money.
Chucks.
Throw my PayPal information, and we start a Chuck fund. And I wear them and take pictures of them, and put them on all our social media. Because you know we everywhere.
And by the
now.
Way,
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest. Everywhere.
We everywhere. Yeah. The season ticket said that basically she's a Jets fan, and the problem goes way beyond the QB position. And I agree. But like Austin said, when it comes to Tim Tebow, you throw it out the window. Tebow playing quarterback makes the defense better.
Yes, it does.
Tebow's like Chuck Norris, man. Tebow playing quarterback makes the cornerbacks better.
It's really unfortunate, though, you know, for whoever's playing quarterback that now Santonio Holmes has gone down for the season with his Lisfranc injury. I don't know. I think it might be time to take a flyer on Chad. Maybe bring Plax back into the mix.
One of the trouble men.
They need something. I mean, it's to the point where, okay, do something now to try to improve your team.
Yo,
if you're still
thinking
a few weeks
happen.
And you don't look like anything's going to happen, then, okay, cut the dude.
The Jets have found a way to make themselves relevant when they stink, and by bringing in one of those guys, it'll be just more of a circus. Especially if you bring in Tebow, let Tebow play. Now it's going to be a circus, and then you're going to bring in one of these guys, you know, Plex, you know.
Yo, can you imagine Tebow and T.O.?
Oh,
Tebow probably can control T.O. with the
with the
Yo,
Jedi.
T.O. is a Christian.
Jedi Jesus mind tricks.
T.O. is a grandma.
I think
Reed.
If anybody, they probably, Cheddar Bob will probably get the call first. And for those who don't know, that's Plexico's other name is Cheddar Bob. So he may get the call first, but I just, it's going to be a circus, yo.
All right, man. Well, we'll see what happens with the Jets, man. I never thought they were horrible until, you know, they got
the Jets for real.
Let's talk about.
So they
let
the 49ers Kobe him, but
let's talk about how the Patriots were getting their heads handed to them, and then the second half they came back and Sandusky the Buffalo Bills. They had a 300-yard passer, two 100-yard rushers, two 100-yard receivers. It's only the second time in NFL history. Like, I don't know if you saw the second half. I did because I was playing against Tom Brady in fantasy football, and like he just went ballistic. What did you guys think about the second half?
I was keeping tabs on that game as well, and that was absolutely crazy because by all accounts it looked like the Bills were going to pull the upset. You had Bills fans mouthing off on social networks.
Oh, my God. Were they?
It was going down for the Buffalo Bills. And then somebody on the Patriots sideline got upset.
Robert Kraft
did something.
Yo, he was in the owner's box. Remember dude on Martin that had the skybox at the Pistons game? He twisted his fist so his ring could shine, and I don't know, something happened. Like he switched the whole outlook of the game.
As much as a Manning stan as I am, man, Tom Terrific is that dude, man. He's that dude. And going even further, Belichick is that dude. Is Belichick? Excuse me. I don't even really care that he's.
I care that he cheated. The last Super Bowl they won was against my team, so I damn sure care that they cheated.
Man, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's all I'm saying.
They're trying too hard.
If Donovan had been cheating instead of just running every play and throwing up, he might have got somewhere.
Listen,
but
all I'm saying
is
he was cheating. He did something to make a lot of people think he was good. He was cheating somehow.
He was cheating. He was stealing money.
I'm screening.
Yeah, no doubt. But Austin, though, it's like It's not just the system because they ran the same system. The first half, they were getting their heads handed to them. They came out the second half. You talk about halftime adjustments. It looked like a different team. I felt like I was watching the movie Wildcats and they let Finch in the
Patriots
game.
Patriots are a religion, man.
Yeah, they are, because you see their
Patriots
ex-players.
Are
you see, like, the Teddy Bruschi's and them on TV. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Even
got the
Willie
cool
McGinnis,
age.
Who I respect, is a pretty cool dude. He's in the religion, too. They're Scientologists up there.
they definitely get their Kool-Aid on. But I'm just saying in terms of making adjustments, I don't know what happened, but I told you it was like watching the movie Wildcats, and they just let Finch in the game. And I was looking for Goldie Hawn on the sidelines because everything just changed. It was literally like a movie where the team is losing the whole time. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy. He's screaming.
Yeah.
We see passion.
No, we can get to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. We're not gonna get everything in, so we might as well just go to the phone line real quick.
No doubt. Let's see what's going on. We got the homie in Patrick from DC, aka 3-Pac. Let's see what's going on.
Hey, look, fellas. Hey, speaking of cheating, man, are we going to talk about how Tampa Bay tried to turn off RG3's headset at the end of the game?
That's legend. Hang up on this dude. You know what?
That's a story.
Trying
to hold that man down.
Man, that's
hey,
a story.
Rating
that is a story
games.
That the Redskins brass made up to start his legacy. They cut off his headset.
He
had
to
call his own
man. Boys is desperate, man.
No, what you ought to be ashamed of, though, Patrick, is the fact that you let Tampa Bay almost bust that behind. They're not even good.
Hey, man. Hey, it's not every game is not going to be easy, man. I would have won that game by half a point if we could have.
Here's my thing. I got a question for you, Patrick, because to me, watching your team play, RG3 is, he's playing well. You got secondary is pathetic.
Oh, my God.
And my question is, I look at the
schedule. I was worried about, like a lot of fans, I was worried about the line, and I was worried about the offensive line, and I was worried about the secondary going into the year. The Saints game, they did pretty good against Breeze. They kind of had me fooled, like they kind of had it together, but everything's been down.
But here's my question. Now you got to play Atlanta with arguably the best wide receiver tandem in the league. I mean, what's going to happen this week with that secondary playing Julio Jones and Roddy White?
It's going to be tough. Julio. It's going to be tough on defense. We're going to have to hope either we come up with some turnovers or hopefully that we can just match them point for point with a shootout because I don't feel good going against White and Jones.
You're just going to say that casually, like we're not going to pick up on y'all, just going to match
them. Actually,
what are they going to do with Alfred Morris and what are they going to do with RG3?
You didn't even know what Alfred Morris was 3 weeks ago.
No, but Austin, through 4 weeks, that has actually been a strength of the Redskins. They can score points. Because that's what I thought last week when people – like, I picked the Redskins to beat Tampa Bay, and people were like, well, I think Tampa Bay is going to win because Washington's defense, this and that. I was like, yeah, granted, they might give up some stuff that they shouldn't on defense, but I didn't think Tampa Bay was going to be able to score with them. So I thought either way Tampa Bay was going to lose.
So,
now, Atlanta's a whole different beast. Atlanta's a whole different beast than Tampa Bay, even though y'all know I don't really believe in Atlanta Falcons totally yet. But
no.
The time of year that Atlanta does good. It seems like they've been doing good in the beginning of the year, and then they've been kind of sputtering at the end of the playoffs.
I got to keep it 1,000 with you, Patrick. I never in my life thought I would hear somebody say, who going to stop Alfred Morris or whatever his name is?
Man,
Alfred Morris, I think it was
the 91 Mazda. Alfred Morris.
Listen, I can't front on him because what I do is when you Redskin fans get out of pocket, I start really shifting the credit from Bob Norbit and putting it on Alfred Morris because Alfred Morris impresses me. I ain't going to lie. He runs like freedom is just over the hill.
Probably is. The ball broke, man. He on the show and he in the league.
He runs tremendous. I can't front on him at all. He is a baller.
I got an answer, though, for Washington's secondary against Julio and Roddy. I mean,
shoot,
put RG3 back there.
We need RG3 to play corner and kick field goals.
Yeah, put him back
there. Yeah, them tell him.
There's
no way y'all going to stop Julio. First of all, a black man named Julio, you know he's athletic and he works hard. So... there's no way y'all gonna stop that man. He gonna get his numbers, man.
Yo,
We definitely gonna have some problems with them offensively and Turner.
Why is Josh?
Last time we played him, Turner got
Wilson.
Loose on us. He'll probably do it again, but I think it's just gonna have to be one of those games. We're gonna have to go point for point with them, and we're just gonna have to hope, you know, we get some breaks here and there. I'm not saying that we can't win, but it's gonna be a tough game if we do pull it out.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't go the other way, and hopefully they won't run away with it on their side.
Hey, Pat, before we go, I got to ask you one last question. If the game comes down to a field goal, are you going to be, have any kind of excitement knowing that your field goal kicker has to come out there to win the game?
I'll probably leave the room when he kicks.
Just hear about the result.
If I was the GM last week, I would have congratulated him on a winning kick, then I would have left him in Tampa. And it would have went like that.
I feel you. I'd bring in Neil Rackers, man. I mean, obviously there was some reason he didn't make the team, but he still has a history. He used to be one of the better kickers in the league. I would just trust him more than I trust him.
Yo, Cundiff shouldn't be in the league.
I don't know what it is with us and kickers, man. We haven't had a kicker. I was talking about the other day, man, we haven't had a kicker since Chip Lowmiller. Now, of course, we had Mosley before that, but
I can't think of a reliable kicker
we've had since Lowmiller.
Go find that liquored up kicker. Go find my man Vanderjack.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They can't really use a draft pick Vanderjack on
the
kicker because
right now
they have more pressing needs, and they spent a lot of draft picks to get Bob Griffin, so they really can't use a draft pick on a kicker. So it's going to be an adventure until they find somebody. But, Pat, thanks for your call, man. We're about to get out of here.
Yo, get rid of
Josh,
man. I know he's a homegrown boy. You got to get rid of dude, man.
All right, man.
Get rid of
dude. All right, fellas. Y'all take it easy.
You got it.
Yo, Josh. Yeah, yo, Josh Wilson is the Denarian McCants of cornerback.
Yo.
Listen, man. You're probably listening too. You get all my Facebook updates. I'm like, that's BL.
Yeah.
I'll take that in the parking lot. We play a game to 21. Touchdowns to you, lay people.
Yo, last thing I want to talk about before we get out of here, I want to talk about these Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
Yo!
Just laughed at them.
What's up, man? That's all I asked the question right there. What's up, man? Like, what's up with America's team, man?
Yo, you said the question is what's up, and I said the answer is my laugh.
No, but
yo,
let's get into it for a minute, man. Like, the five interception game. Dude, was that all Romo's fault?
No.
You know,
no.
Is it time for them to move on from Tony Romo?
No. First of all, Tony Romo, while he's not an elite quarterback, is a very good quarterback. And what happens is people, the fans of the Cowboys automatically overrate the team. And then it's like the media buys in, and then the rest of us just listen like, oh, well, it may as well be. It's probably true. The media's talking about them. They're not that good. And Tony Romo suffers because they're not. Yo, Dez Bryant in one game never ran one route correctly. And
I've been trying to tell y'all that for the past 2 years, even when y'all weren't like the national media, but there was a time when y'all were giving them props for having talent and wondering why they can't get it together with all this talent. I never thought they were as talented as everybody believed that team was.
Let me ask both of you guys a question. As Eagles fans, right now, would you take Tony Romo over Michael Vick?
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Interesting.
Next question. I think Tony Romo is a really good quarterback. There's times in the game where he definitely makes some bad decisions. I'm not going to absolve him from all the blame, but if you watched a lot of what happened on Monday night, or was that Sunday night, whatever night that was, at least three of those interceptions could be argued to not be on him. That's a lot of interceptions to say that.
I know, that's amazing.
At least three of them interceptions.
This is a bad game, but three of them wasn't his fault.
Either way, you know, he had a bad game, and being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, the light shines on you a little bit brighter. Like, people kind of forget that, you know, just last year, the dude started all 16 games, had over 4,000 yards passing, 66% completions, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Like, for a lot of people that's out there calling him average.
He got half of that on Monday.
Like, average quarterbacks don't do that.
No, he got half of that on Monday. With that being said, Dev, my quick opinion is this. I don't like him because he grew up idolizing Favre, and you can tell by his game, but he's also said it. And my dislike for Favre makes me dislike him for him looking up to that coward. So,
but he's never thrown a lot of interceptions, though. I mean, he had 1 year where he threw 19, and that was his high.
He also had two games where he threw 5. I mean, I get that.
He's up to 8 this year, and we're like in week 2.
I mean, I totally get that. I think that their problem to me, watching them play, and maybe it's because I have the running back on my fantasy team, but they can't get any kind of running game at all.
They don't try.
So,
they don't try. Jason Garrett, as a former quarterback, drops Tony Romo back far too much. And then the O-line isn't really great at run block. So it puts them in a quandary.
Yeah, so, I mean, with that being said, man, we'll see. We'll see what's definitely going to happen with them moving forward because
Boston stole a lot of money.
Yes, he did. It's like
they give up a lot of money. So
yo, he got his money and went back to being Miles Austin. It's like he had like some sort of
and Felix Jones
sort of
is fat. And Felix Jones is fat now.
He can change like yo, Kill said it. He can change your pace back. I mean, let's get out of here, man. Thanks everybody for joining us in the war room on a special day and time. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. Y'all were hilarious tonight, and everybody on Facebook and Twitter talking about Dev not having Chucks. Look for the hashtag #GetDevSomeChucks because it'll be out there soon. And all the callers who chimed in. Thanks as usual to Mike B of Your Bookie's Money for his weekly picks, and we'll see how that makes out. Tune in next week, same place at our regular time, which is Thursday, of course. We'll be having a conversation with Raheel from
Urban Cuss, and I don't know if you guys know that Urban Cuss is a very, very popular blog, but the head honcho is coming to join us in the War Room.
And magazine.
And Urban, absolutely. You have a magazine as well, the 2012 Impact Leader of the Year. They won that award. So until then, until next week, everybody, look for us everywhere online. You know how we do. We're everywhere. Just go to warroomsports.com, Facebook, Twitter, wherever. We out of here, though.
Find Amazon, man.
Yeah, she got it going on and on, like, you know what I'm saying? But she be trying to act like all of that, though, yo.
So show us boss, man, what's up?
Yo, big kid style.
No question, big kids in full effect, man.
Yo, I'm gonna kick the Willie Bobo, check it,
no
yo.
No question.
Hey, yo, what's the 411, hon?
What's the 411, hon?
I got it going on,
hey, yo,
hon.
Yo, I got it going on, hon.
What's the 411, hon?
What's the 411, hon?
I got it going on.
Hey, yo, I got it going on.
Will I be Pooba on this chair? The nigga from last year. Jabot's hanging baggy. Tommy Hilfiger top gear. Take no shorts. I'm doing lovely in all sports. Even swing the pole at the hole on my golf course. Some say I'm fancy because I'm horny and nasty. If I see some rugged joints, then I won't let it pass me. I take no shorts. Let suckers step up to see. I'll flip the script and get harder than Jeopardy. I shot the sheriff and the motherfucking deputy. Test me. Check it, I'm not Keith Sweat, but bet that ass that I can make it last. Skins turn their head so fast, they end up catching whiplash. If Hun's a monster, I'm Kyle Lewis on the meter dash. It's Grand Pooba, baby, and I'm getting crazy cash. What's the 411? Let me know, hun. What's the 411?
What's the 411, hun?
What's the 411, hun?
I got it going on.
Hey, yo, I got it going on.
Hey, yo, what's the 411, hun?
What's the 411,
I said, I got it going on.
Hey, yo, I got it going on.
Yeah, nigga, what makes you different than the next nigga? Seen you last week and you couldn't even speak. You try to play like Mr. All of That, but now you wanna come to me with some chit-chat? I don't have no time for no wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. Gas me up, get me drunk, and hit the season scram. The same old shit you pulled last week on Pam? I'm not having that. No, I'm not having that. You gotta do a lot more, and that's just how it be. I'm Mary Biden, you just ain't running up on me. I need a man who's looking out with some security. So come correct with some respect, and then we will see. So if you're with it, then drop the 7 digits, and I might just give you a call. If you ain't with it, then don't waste your time at all. So what's the 411, huh?
Honey was talking a little something, man.
Yo, so what's up? Push up, man.
I'ma catch up with it in a minute right now and see what she's talking about.
So set it straight, man.
All right, yo, I'll get back with you later, G.
Chill.
All my love is all I have.
And Grandpa is very special.
All my life I look for you.
And today your dream comes true.
You need me and I need you.
Grandpa Bar is very special.
Things just seem to do divine.
This is how the two combine.
I know our love was meant to be.
Mary Blige is something kind of special.
Love is life and life is nifty.
Yeah, yeah.
You're very special.
You know it, baby. You got it going on a little something. So, yo, baby, you don't try. Little time. Spend a little time. Hey, I got a pop pop.
Yeah, man.
Check it, man. Little resume with that skit, man.
Got that 411, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna see what the prognosis is, though.
Yeah, yeah, that Willie Bobo, man. We flowing it on.
Just bounce on us on that end, man.
We need to take the skyline, man. We out. We out.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.